Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, if you've ever been to Italy or indeed anywhere on the Mediterranean coast, you'll probably know there is no shortage of evidence of the ancient Roman civilization. They were everywhere. What is less clear about what happened is on those edges, on the frontiers, how they lived and how cultures intertwined with each other as the Roman Empire overlapped with other territories like the Gauls and Germanic tribes. Our next guest is going to tell us all about that because he's working on a site just on one of these edges. His name is Frederick Out. He's a doctoral researcher at Goethe Universitat in Frankfurt. Welcome to the program, Frederick. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about this site, Nita, with a bit of context beforehand, it may be, as to what was going on, where it is, and from a geographical point of view, why it's of particular interest when we think about the Roman Empire of sort of the first couple of centuries AD, is it?
Yeah, sure. So Nida is what today is part of Frankfurt, the city of Frankfurt. So we are on the east bank of the Rhine, in the Rhine-Main area. Today is Hessen, the state of Hessen. And this is frontier zone. So the Roman Empire stretched through large parts of Western Europe, and especially the Rhine area, and Nida lies in the Limes region, so real frontier zone, not far from the actual Roman border, the Roman frontier to outside of the empire. And Nida was in Roman times what we call a civitas capital. So the Roman world was divided into provinces. The province we are talking about is Upper Germany, Germania Superior. The province capital was Mainz, not that far away from Frankfurt. And the civitates are administrative units within one province. And Nida, the Roman town of Nida, was the capital of such a territory.
Okay, so how many people at its peak are we talking? It's very close to the Rhine, right? The other side of the Rhine was not the Roman Empire, for the most part.
For the most part, yes. So we're talking about, difficult to estimate, but roughly 2,000 or 3,000 inhabitants at its biggest time. So roughly talking late second, early third century, probably 2,000 or 3,000 people living there.
And so being in Frankfurt, essentially, this super expensive city to live in that is well built up, how on earth do you go about excavating ancient Roman sites somewhere like that?
Yes, that's actually quite the problem. So we only know of the town of Nida in sort of patches. So there are large building programs, of course, that started in the 50s or 60s. And now these buildings are all getting demolished, some of them getting demolished to make room for, well, essentially bigger buildings to live in. Because Frankfurt is, I think, the second most expensive town in Germany to live in. And each time one of those buildings is being torn down, well, the archaeologists get the chance to look under it. And in this case, we were particularly lucky that those buildings sometimes do not have a basement, so there's still a lot intact to research on.
Right. So, just out of interest, if a building's taken down, do archaeologists always get a first chance to explore before you build on it? Is that sort of a default in Frankfurt because of Nida?
Yeah, well, essentially, yes, yeah.
Okay, so this building that was demolished revealed something really unusual, a sanctuary, and some very interesting distinguishing parts about this find. So once the building's gone, what do you do and what did you find in this particular site?
So in this case, was a large school building being demolished. So fairly large site, we're talking 4,500 square meters here.
Wow.
And when the building was turned down, it was pretty clear that there was something under there because we are in the center of the Roman Nida. It's fairly obvious that we have to expect some archaeology there.
And you would normally find like the center of administration there, sort of administration buildings. Is that what you would normally expect to find there?
Pretty much, yes. Maybe not an administrative building, but what we call the Forum. So a bit like the Forum Romanum in Rome itself, which is also the city center of Rome. Mm. We would have expected a large open space, maybe with some administrative buildings on it. But we were pretty much surprised that this was not the case. But rather large sanctuary.
And this sanctuary was site to some really interesting rituals. Tell us exactly what you found on the site.
So this is still pretty much work in progress. So we are not we do not know about everything which has happened there. But there are some very interesting markers. So what's most striking are close to 100 shafts and pits, which have been used for some kind of sacrifice. We're not talking human sacrifice here. There's a different story to that. But we're talking about sacrifices people did to trade, quote unquote, with a deity. So I give you something and the deity gives something back for me. And those pits have been used to deposit those ritual remains, which belong to the goddess.
So when you say sacrifices, are you talking pigs and goats and calves and that sort of thing? That if a farmer or if a wealthy person was able to sacrifice one of these, throw it into a pit and then ask the god for something, they're more likely to say yes?
Mostly yes. So when Romans sacrificed, or Gallo-Romans in this case, they kind of drew up a contract. So,
oh, really? God, they were very good with their records. Yeah. They would do the Romans. You'll say, whatever the Romans do for us, they were great with note-taking.
Yeah, essentially, yes. So it's called do ut deis. I do something, you do something. Hmm. And mostly, yes. So we have tons of animal bones, which were thrown into the pits, which are kind of markers of ritual feasting. So the people, cook the goat, the sheep, the pig, whatever, and then part of which they eat themselves and part of which belongs to the gods, which then gets thrown into those pits. But along with those bones and animal remains, we also have a lot of pottery, very many vessels for cooking, for dining, tableware, for storing, which was some kind connected to those rituals and then also belong to the gods, because everything you use in a ritual can't be used then in a profane context again.
Right. Why did they think the gods might be interested in some pottery? I mean, it seems like a strange thing to sacrifice.
Yeah, that's true. But actually, we are not entirely sure about why they were interested in pottery. we see a lot of sacrifice of everyday goods. So people gave something, and we're pretty sure it's not that important what's the item you are giving to the god.
Right.
It's more the act of giving.
So I see.
We see this in coins. We have, of course, also sacrifices of coins. Someone's throwing, like the Trevi Fountain in Rome, someone is throwing a coin into one of those pits. We also see ceramic round discs resembling coins thrown also into those pits. They resemble coins in any way, except they not being of precious metal. And we think they used items like this to give something to the god. Maybe they haven't got the means to give actual coin.
Yeah.
So they're using pottery instead.
Okay. You mentioned that there weren't any humans sacrificed. Is that, talk to me about that, because it seems like of all the civilizations, the Romans were pretty, that was a pretty taboo thing to do, was it?
Yes. So human sacrifice was, essentially a big no-no in Roman culture. They viewed it as barbaric. So you were not allowed to do human sacrifice.
How do we know that? Was that written down somewhere?
Yeah, there are a lot of sources, and this is quite interesting. So it's part of ancient literature so many times, you have to think why it's mentioned so often.
Yeah.
So there must be a reason, and maybe we do have some signs of human sacrifice. It's too early to be definitive about it.
Oh, at Nida?
Yeah, there's one special feature we are kind of curious about and thinking about. Maybe we do have some signs of some sort of human sacrifice as well, but this is very early to be definitive about. But there is a burial, which is very unusual, because Romans were very strict about where to put the dead. So
right.
We have graveyards outside the town. But there was a body lying right next to the altar with some stabbing wounds. And this could be anything, but it certainly looks suspicious.
No chance it was Julius Caesar.
Probably not.
That would be quite the find, though. That would be quite the find.
Yeah.
Caesar, that's your name made forever. So you found this body. It has stab wounds in it. It was laid on an altar where you typically wouldn't find a body. It's difficult really to know with so much time gone past whether or not it's a sacrifice. But what you said really struck me, the idea that if you have to have a rule so many times saying don't sacrifice people, that obviously there must have been people who were sacrificing people. And maybe because this was a border and maybe cultures mixed a little bit, maybe this was an influence of another culture. Hard to tell. How do you piece that together as an archaeologist?
Well, it's kind of detective work. So we always operate on incomplete data. So there are things we will not be able to solve definitively. We can only go so far and suggest that this might be something to think about. But what you just said about the melting pot of cultures is something pretty much true in Nida. Because we are in a frontier zone, we are not talking Roman culture. We're not talking Gaulish culture or Germanic culture. We are talking Gallo-Roman culture.
Right.
This is some own cultural background which is mixed up of all the people living there. So we have to always keep in mind that we have a very own culture which is not comparable to let's say mainland Italy, for example.
So what happens? You find this unusual feature. As an archaeologist, is that, I mean, obviously you're trying to document what happened there. Does this now become sort of a special project to figure that out? I mean, how does it work in archaeology? How do you decide what is something that deserves a lot of focus? Like, for example, I'd see the Iceman, right? You know, this is obviously a very interesting find in the Alps, this guy who was preserved in ice. That's obviously a lot to learn from that because it's so well preserved. How do you decide this is what I'm going to spend years studying and this is not?
In this case, it's essentially the size of the whole site and the feature richness of the site. So we see a lot of individual, very interesting things we don't see anywhere else in the region. So the Sanctuary of Nida does have a lot of very distinct things we are interested in because we do not know such features from other sites in essentially the whole of the province or the close vicinity. So we're interested in the whole site. We are not cherry picking individual features like, for example, this burial, but we are trying to investigate the site as a whole. And this is kind of a unique opportunity because we could excavate it in a manner which is quite complete, let's say.
So, it must be very exciting being at that site and opening it up and seeing things you've never seen before. Really fascinating speaking with you. Thank you so much. Frederick Out is a doctoral researcher at Goethe Universitat in Frankfurt. Thank you.
Thank you.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.